Our first scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Listen for God's holy word. From the wilderness of Zin, the whole congregation of Israel journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people. And take some of the elders of Israel with you, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John. Listen again for God's holy word. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink? I am a Samaritan woman." For Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it was that was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Israelites had been led out of slavery in the land of Egypt, and God had given them Moses to be their leader. But God's own presence had gone before the people in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. It had gone on before the people to lead them in the way that God would have them go, to lead them as they journeyed through the wilderness. And their journey was from one existence to another existence. They were slaves under the kingdom of Pharaoh, but they were moving towards the promised land. And there were many challenges that the Israelites faced on this journey as they followed God's presence over those sands. The people faced enemies like Pharaoh and his armies who threatened the people's lives. And the people also faced the constant trouble of their own disobedience, their own tendencies to listen to God's words, but then to not follow them, to do different than God had asked them. In our story for this morning, the people face a different kind of challenge altogether as they set up their camp in that place called Rephidim. For there were no enemies at Rephidim. There were no foreign kings there making claims on the people as slaves. There were no rampaging armies with threatening weapons. There were no fortified cities inhibiting the people's progress. The people had also seemingly learned their lesson about obedience. Just before this story about Raphidim, the people are given instructions about manna. Manna, the bread that God sends to them from heaven. And God gives them really specific instructions about how they are to collect and prepare and keep the manna that God is sending. And the people do a terrible job of obeying God's commands. Some people gather too much manna. Some people don't gather enough. And it doesn't go well for them. And so perhaps with that lesson, we find the people here are more faithful. They are following God's instructions. The passage says clearly that the people traveled through the wilderness of Sin by stages, as the Lord commanded, and they camped in the place where God had led them. It was no accident that they ended up in this place called Raphidim. They were not forced there off course by an enemy, and it wasn't their tendency to disobedience that drew them to this place. They had followed God, and they had camped where He commanded, and still the people faced trouble in that place, for it turns out that Raphidim was a place with no water. And so the people wondered, why? Why would God bring them to this place? Why would God give them over to this terrible experience of thirst? I wonder if our situation as God's people, as those who are being led by God on our own journeys of faith, is like the experience of Israel. Sometimes as we travel through our lives, there are opponents and enemies who give us trouble. Sometimes there are internal enemies, like doubt or fear, anxiety or stress. We have these internal enemies with which we struggle and fight, and sometimes these enemies can push us off course. We also have external enemies which strive to knock us off course, like an employer who is unfair, or business partners who don't treat us right, or a neighbor who loves to pick fights, or a family member who has it out for us, or a school teacher, or a fellow student, a friend, a coworker, a complete stranger. Someone like Pharaoh who seeks to control us, to diminish our lives. It is also the case, like the people of Israel, that disobedience sometimes gets us into trouble. We have a general sense of how God would have us live our lives, but we still find ourselves gathering too much or too little manna. But I believe it is also the experience of faithful followers of God, as it was the case for Israel, that there are times in our lives of faith, times in the journeys that we are on, when we have faithfully followed God, when we have camped where God has told us to camp, but still, despite the fact that everything has gone right, despite the fact that God is close by and leading us, despite the fact that we have been faithful, we still find that we are in a place with no water. The trouble we face will be a trouble which is hard to understand. Trouble which makes us ask, why? Why, God? Why would you bring me to this place, this experience? Why would you ask me to camp here? Why would you let me know this hard experience of thirst? In situations like these, we want to find a reason. We're quick to look back at the scriptures and say, what was the reason? What was the lesson? We want to point to some lesson that God was trying to teach. We want to find the deeper truth of the matter, but it might be the case that those answers never come. Israel asked why in our passage. They looked around at Raphidim, a place with no water, a place where life was impossible, and they asked why. And Israel never received an answer to that question. God never made it clear what the lesson was that the people were to learn, or the reason behind leading to that place. And I suppose that is the reason why Rephidim is not a popularly known place in the Bible. We know places like Eden and Jericho, Mount Sinai, Bethlehem, Nazareth, Jerusalem, Calvary. Those are popularly known places, but how many of us know and cherish the name or the place Rephidim? Rephidim is a place of trouble and confusion. It is a place that we don't want to think about. It is a place which represents some of the greatest struggles that followers of God might face. For it represents the struggles and the troubles which often come and go without clear explanations. We ask why? Why, God? Why would you lead me to this place? And the answers might not come. Israel never learned why, but God did not remain silent or unmoved. Instead, through power and in an act of life-preserving grace, God, through Moses, brought water from a rock. God doesn't explain the reason behind the struggle of Rephidim, but God does bring the waters of life to a lifeless landscape. God does not teach a deep or important lesson in that hard place, but God does make a way where there was none. As we journey down our lives of faith, there may be times when God leads us to a place like Rephidim. God may never reveal to us the reason why we experience times of thirst. But we can still give thanks that God has provided for us and has promised to always provide for us waters which spring up to eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen.